people coming into the country are trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals. And we're taking them out of the country at a level and at a rate that's never happened before. And because of the weak laws, they come in fast. We get them, we release them, we get them again, we bring them out. It's crazy. The dumbest laws, as I said before, the dumbest laws on immigration in the world. So we're going to take that.
Somebody get me through this nightmare. I can't control myself. So if you can see the darkest side of me, no one will ever change the shadow of my
head. So, you know, I listened to that. And again, that's, you know, that's an old clip on this president's immigration tick. They're all animals. They're all bad. And again, the same kind of rhetoric, the same kind of divisiveness, the same kind of hate mongering that we've come to expect. But he's taking it even that next step. And I had someone, you know, say to me today, I can't believe he went that far. I can't believe he's, you know, this ending birthright citizenship, which is, look, what the right wing crazies have really always wanted. So this is, they're all tingly in the panties right now. The question is what are the rest of us going to do about it? And here to share some thoughts on, well, just how insane this is and what we should be doing. I've asked Hassan Ahmad to come talk with us. He's an immigration attorney and activist. Hassan, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Rick.
So are you surprised as I am, as, you know, the CNN and NPR and other outlets, stating that, you know, Trump said this, but we're really not sure if he can do it. Are you surprised at that?
You know what? I'm not surprised as much as I am dismayed. That's been my take. And again, my position as an immigration lawyer and advocate is this is not the first time I've heard, you know, Trump and people in his camp talk about this, and you know, you follow the work of the Federation for American Immigration Reform and its founder, John Tanton, who would pen a letter to a law professor in 1975 expressing a great deal of concern as to the 14th Amendment and its guarantee of birthright citizenship and equality for all. So this is something that they've been talking about, as you stated, for a very long time. The question is, why are we even talking about this like it's a valid viewpoint, that it deserves a seat at the table? Are you going to go to the KKK to get advice on race relations? I mean, you know, it boggles the mind.
Well, it seems like it. I mean, you know, I think the reason that it's been given any credibility is that a sitting president said it.
And I get that, but he has said so many things that have either straight up lies or complete or speaking out of complete ignorance. Can we really afford to give him the same respect that we would another sitting president when he has a track record, two plus years long now, of lying to the American public, and a pattern of just throwing stuff out there, pulling it out of thin air, and seeing what'll stick. And that's really the damage that we have here by even legitimizing it and even talking about it in any way that validates it even a little bit.
But
the idea becomes a little less crazy every time he says it, every time he repeats it, because he's saying it under color of his office. And that, I think, is the real damage to our discourse. At the end of today, it's a little less fringy and crazy and out there, and a little more people are wondering, well, what does it actually mean, subject to the jurisdiction thereof in the 14th Amendment? What does that actually mean? Wasn't that a long time ago? Maybe we should at least look at what the contours of that law are. The moment we start asking things like that, the moment we start questioning something that's been a part of the bedrock of our jurisprudence for hundreds of years, something that's made us into the country that we are today, I think that's a really dangerous path.
No, I'm with you, but I feel we have to talk about it, and we have to point out just how ludicrous it is, just because,
as
you
as
pointed out,
that,
the more...
As long as we're doing that.
Yeah, the more he brings it up, As you're right, the more someone's going to look at it. And I read, section one of the 14th Amendment. It's very clear. All persons born here in the U.S. are citizens. It's that simple. It doesn't get any, and naturalized, they're citizens. It doesn't get any simpler than that.
Yeah. No, and to be clear, I'm not saying that we not talk about it, but the concern I have is that people are legal scholars and people are coming in and opining about and giving a validation or a veneer of validity to the idea that maybe we can at least look at this again. And I think even that is dangerous.
Well, I guess
it's not coming.
Right. I guess there's two questions that I have on that then. Is it that we're not looking at the fact that this guy thinks he can, with an executive order, change the Constitution, or going through the constitutional process of changing the Constitution? Look, if that's the route we're going to go, I guess we have that discussion. But it's a non-starter for me, for a president to say, hey, I've got the executive authority to, at my will, change what's written in that founding document.
Absolutely. And honestly, I mean, to the point, since we're talking about citizenship here, if you can just revoke or reinterpret the Constitution by executive order, what is the Constitution? If citizenship can be revoked or reinterpreted by executive order, it's not even as valuable as a Costco membership card. I mean, you have to, it has to mean something. The Constitution has to be a founding document. And it seems like it's lost on all of these people, these crazies that are talking about the 14th Amendment being revoked or even reinterpreted. If they open the door to an amendment or the Constitution being reinterpreted that easily, guess what? The Second Amendment is going to be subject to the same level of degree of manipulation. I mean, do they really have they thought this through at all?
No, the Second Amendment's sacrosanct. We don't touch that ever. No.
Of course. Right,
no.
right.
But here's the thing, and this comes back to, and I made this point at the beginning, you have these original intentists. Antonin Scalia was one of these people who believe, we got to go to the original intent, the founding document, of which the 14th Amendment was not one of the original amendments. So there are those who believe, anything after 10, no, we do away with those, go back to the original days.
Yeah, I think even rather strict literalists are, there is a procedure for amending the Constitution, and that was part of the original intent of the framers, right? That hey, there are going to be issues, there are going to be things that come up, there are going to be circumstances when we have to change the Constitution, amend the Constitution, and so a procedure was built in to do that. It has checks, it has balances. It's not easy to do. It shouldn't be easy to do, but it was part of the. It was part of the original intent of the framers, and the 14th Amendment was ratified in following that procedure in 1868. So, what are we talking about here?
Excellent point. But here's the other part of this, and it's one of those things that when I heard Trump say, when I heard the report that Trump said this, that with executive order he was going to revoke citizenship and look at all of this, I started thinking about some of the the citizens I'd like to see their citizenship revoked. I was thinking about ExxonMobil. I was thinking about General Electric. I was thinking about you name the corporate person that we've been told is a person under the 14th Amendment and because of the Supreme Court. Those are some citizenships I'd like to see repealed.
Yeah, I mean, when do we stop then? I mean, if they're going to sit here and make citizenship, like I said, revocable like a Costco card. Well, what are we? Aren't we devaluing citizenship as a whole?
Well, I mean, I would make the first point that corporations are not people.
Of course,
not people.
Right.
Then I let myself go down the Ted Cruz. I'd like to see him go. I mean, there's a bunch of people on the right I'd like to see go. Denise D'Souza. There's a bunch of those folks. But it's just not right.
Seb Gorka.
There you go. But it's not right, and it's not how things have been done in this country.
It's I think it is. Yeah, it's un-American. It's immoral. It's a step closer to fascism, is what it is.
But here's the thing. I mean, while we're doing this, while we're debating this, and while people are throwing this around, we're sending troops to the southern border to meet a caravan of people coming here seeking safety, security, fleeing oppression,
right.
and we're sending armed military personnel to the border with a president who has threatened them with bodily harm. You know, if one wasn't bad, the other one is.
It's I'm honestly at a loss for words. I was talking to a client of mine who actually lives in a village in Honduras, and he was deported many years ago, and is now, you know, we're working through some paperwork to try to get him to come back. And he spoke with his U.S. citizen wife, who is battling cancer in the United States and badly needs him back to for her final days. And she, they had this conversation about whether or not he should join the caravan. There were about 700 people from his small city who left. And, you know, he's sort of tail end of his process. We're very hopeful that his case would be approved. But he's so desperate that even though he has a much clearer, more secure path to an actual green card, his situation in Honduras is so bad that he had to sit down and essentially we had to be talked out of joining this caravan because his situation was so bad. He essentially doesn't leave his little hut, you know, in this village. Every time he goes out, he gets death threats. And they know that he has family in the United States. The gang members know that he has family in the United States and that he was there before. And so there's a perception that he has a ton of money and therefore is an easy target for extortion. They know exactly who his cousins are. They know who his children are. They know who his parents are. They know all of these things. And all of these people are stuck. They can't leave their house. They can't leave their house. And even that can be dangerous. This is the situation that these people are finding themselves in. And the United States has this policy of seeing these people as a threat, failing to recognize the difference between the victimizers and the victims themselves. And it's the perfect, you know, a sea of brown people, you know, coming into the United States. This is what white nationalist fantasies are built on.
No, they're invading. They're invading us, Hassan.
Storming the border. They're an army. They're a horde. Look at the framing, for God's sake.
Lepers.
Look at how they're talking about these people.
Fox News. They're lepers. They've got smallpox. They've got HIV. They're infested.
Oh my gosh. it doesn't surprise me, but wow, yeah.
But isn't that part of the whole gig? Is we have to dehumanize them so that if the military does gun them down at the border, we can say, they were infested with rabies.
Not
and,
really humans
and lice
anyway.
Anyway.
Right, exactly. No, and that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It goes with the same, birthright citizenship. It's a way to try to, people have to be dehumanized. It's a necessary first step in any sort of ethnic purge. And I have maintained for a long time, after looking at the founding papers, seeing where these policies actually come from, and just look at the fact, have they done anything? Have they done anything that is pro-immigrant? Have they done anything to help? Every single policy that's come out since January 20th, 2017, has disproportionately targeted people of color. And we just have to call it what it is. What have they been dog whistling about? What have they been telling you? Tie it to the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship. They didn't like that when it came down to give citizenship to black people, to freed slaves in the 19th century. Now that it's being used to as a grant of equality and security of citizenship to a whole other groups of people, they're hopping mad about it. And what else are they going to do but, a caravan of people seeking asylum and protection, due in large part to policies espoused and implemented by the United States over the past several decades, causing the collapse or a virtual collapse of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And now these people are in need of some sort of refuge. And sending troops down to the border to deny them or an executive order travel ban style to prevent them from even filing for asylum is in direct contravention of the United States Code and of international law, not to mention a violation of their human rights. It is a human right to seek asylum. It is disgusting that our government thinks that it has the authority or the will to be able to victimize these people in this way. It's just disgusting.
Again, they're not seeking asylum. They're not coming here legally. They're invading, Azan. They're invading.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, you look at what happened at the shooting over the weekend. This is what drove this guy, this kind of language. Our sovereignty is being, destroyed, and they're invading us, and I'm going in. I'm going to save it.
Right.
And
right.
This kind of rhetoric is dangerous.
It's dangerous. It's poisonous. And there's very little that I can see that's being done from stopping it from infecting our policies at the highest levels.
But I see, it's not a matter of us not doing anything to stop it. What I'm seeing happening at the highest levels is making it worse. Making sure that the flames are fanned and making sure that there's more fuel on the fire to keep these people always at a state of alert and always in a state of anxiety and always ready to going in. This is what really scares me and why I think Tuesday, this election is so important and people better get out and vote.
Yeah, if I haven't said it yet, then I'll repeat it myself because it seems like every election a politician gets up and says this is the most important election of your life. And but this time, there is something different this time in these midterms. November 6th is going to be a turning point, or it can be a turning point if people take their obligations seriously and get out there to the polls.
Now, well, last line of questioning I've got for you, because, I've been saying, got to get out and vote, march, big march to the polls. What happens if they decide, we've broken every other, every rule that we can think of and every one of the traditions. What if, Trump says, the elections were all rigged and it was those caravans who infected the vote. We don't trust the vote.
I think there's all kinds of things that people can try to tell themselves to rationalize their way out of their moral and civic duty to get out there and use their... But voting, no one's saying that the system is perfect. No one is saying that. But I guess to me, when you have our democracy on life support as it is, then refusing to vote is like refusing all medical treatment just because two doctors gave you conflicting advice.
Good point.
And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we got to get out on November 6th and vote. Hassan, I appreciate you taking some time and sharing your thoughts. And I know this is rough, and this is, but it's one of these things where we got to stand up and speak out and shout down this kind of insanity.
Absolutely, right there with you, man.
Good stuff. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a good night.
Again, if you're not out there speaking out condemning this, you're part of the problem. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Oh, 90% of the world.